Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
Yes. Praise God. Amen. Okay. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm so glad to be back with the people I love. And I missed y'all bad time. But whoever sent that basket of goodies with, let me give you thanks for it. I didn't have to go to the store for 2 weeks. And I really enjoyed it. Romans chapter number 5, if you got your Bible. And I'll read the scriptures right quick. I started eating a lot of natural foods. And then I found out that most people die of natural death. So that blew that. Romans chapter number 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, think about that. No strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Wow. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more. How could you get any more? Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. You can sit down. Man, I really, really appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today. My heart's full. I've just experienced so much in my older days of the love of God that I just can't hardly comprehend it. I cry a lot. I do a lot of crying. And that's good. People need to cry. It helps empty out all of that unbelief and doubt and stuff in your heart, especially when God moves. And I think since I died, I've enjoyed life better than I ever have. I do. I love every day. I mean, I'm living just like it's... I'm on extended warranty, and then I'm having the time. But I may get to see God come back. I really don't know. But the first word it said, therefore. When you see the word therefore in the Bible, you need to ask yourself, what's it there for? Because it's saying, because of this, or this is why we are now justified. And the Apostle Paul, he spent the first three chapters in Romans talking about the wrath of God that's coming upon the disobedient and the ungodly people in this world. And then all of a sudden he changes and says, oh yeah, I'm an apostle to the Gentiles. And he starts talking to the Gentiles of what God has given us. The benefits, some of the benefits that he began to explain to us. I heard about a guy that graduated from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and he sent out his resumes to all the different companies, and finally somebody called him and wanted to interview him. So he went there to this company, and the CEO set him down and said, what kind of a salary do you have in mind that you want to start out at? He said, well, about $250,000 a year, just depending upon the benefits. And the CEO said, what if I tell you that you'd get 5 weeks vacation, you'd have 14 days of sick pay, and you'd have a car plus health and dental? He said, are you joking? He said, yeah, but you started it. You ever hear him say, if it sounds too good to be true, it's usually not, it's not true? Well, let me tell you something. When God's word tells you what you are what he says, not what you feel. We need to take fact over feeling. You see, God sees us what we can be, and we see us as we are. We look at ourselves knowing what we can't do, but God wants us to look to him of what he can do. He told one of the guys, he said, you're a mighty man of valor. He said, oh, I'm just the least of my family. God saw him as he really was going to, what he was going to be. And we don't need to confess weakness. The Bible said, let the weak say I'm strong. And when we start doing what the Bible says, okay, in verse 5 it said, therefore being justified. We are justified. If you're saved, you're justified. Somebody said, well, I don't feel justified. Feeling ain't got a thing to do with it. I'm justified, never sinned before God. I'm justified by faith. And because I'm justified, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice because we're righteous. I'm not righteous of anything I've done. I'm righteous because he declared me righteous. And if he declares us righteous, then we need to start confessing. I am righteous. What is righteous? Right doing. Doing right. God fixed my brokenness. I don't know about y'all, but God fixed my brokenness. Amen. Therefore, we have peace with God. Now, through Jesus Christ, he removed all of the enemy that we had between me and God. And I was a sinner. I was born in sin, shaping in iniquity. So was you. But Jesus made peace through his blood with God. Now, I am no longer an enemy to God. Because why? Because Jesus, which is my peace, stands between me and God. And through him, by him being Lord over us, we can only have peace with God, but we can have the peace of God. And the peace of God passes all understanding. That's what a lot of people think my messages are like, the peace of God and the mercy of God. Seems like because they endure forever. But because I have peace with God, I can lay my head on a pillow and I don't have to sit there and worry and turn and toss. Hallelujah. I know I'm right. If God comes during my sleep, I'll wake up in heaven. Thank God. Why? I've got peace. You know when you don't have peace, you're traveling down the interstate, 95 headed to Florida. It's late at night, and you don't know. All of a sudden you look down and a gas light comes on. And you don't know where you're at, and you don't know if there's going to be any service station. So all of a sudden you get tore up. You get tore up. Why? Because you don't think you got enough. You can't make it to the next stop. And you get worried and you get troubled. and you are worried until you see a sign, gas station 2 miles ahead, and all of a sudden your peace comes back. Well, I learned when I started serving God, I didn't have enough to make it, but God would always get me to the next point. I would have problems in my life, and God would see me till I could get to where somebody would speak a word that would take me just a little bit farther. Or God would give me a miracle. You know, we all love miracles. I'd like to tell you some of the miracles that I've seen in my life that God has done for me. Big miracles. But we forget about sometimes the small miracles of our sight. We are able to see. Small miracles. I can breathe. Small miracles. I'm alive. And I'm realizing, oh, hallelujah, I've got miracles. Don't never let somebody else tell you what a miracle you are. You need to tell them what a miracle you are. I don't care if I ever see the lame walk. I would love to, but I'm not going to forget the miracles that I see every day. When I get up in the morning, I think, oh, Lord, what would a man that couldn't do if he could do? And I said, I'm going to try it. Sometimes I'm an explorer. I like to see what's around the next bend. When I get on my bicycle, I don't know which way I'm going to go until I start out. Sometimes I'll turn around and go a different direction. But I want to go somewhere where I haven't never seen before because I've got life in me. I've got life, something that wants me to get up and live. But the Bible said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the Spirit of the life of Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There is a Spirit of life. You got to get the Spirit of life before you get life. Hallelujah. We see these people in these ball games and the cheerleaders out there hollering, victory is ours. I got victory, victory. And they may be down 20 points, but they're still hollering, we got victory. They could teach a lot of us. You know, when they get a ball game, they get a logo, the Bears, the Wolverines, the Tigers, the Lions. I wonder what the church would get the Pentecostal puppies. We need something ferocious, the lion of the king of Judah. Hallelujah. Amen. We need something ferocious. We need to stand up against the devil and say, you remember when you done this to me, how I came back and I was greater than I was before. Hallelujah. You need to talk to the devil. I know sometimes we just listen to what he says and we don't talk back to him. I was on my way to a church years ago. Just for your information, you don't have to leave a church if they cast you out. But anyway, I was on the way to church and I got in the car and the devil's telling me they don't want you to come over there. They don't want you testify. You always tell them about something. Well, God said, they don't want you to do that. And I was listening to him. And I kept listening to him. Finally, it dawned on me, that wasn't God talking to me. That wasn't him. I stopped in the middle of the road coming down Independence Hill. And I stopped in that wide spot there, pulled off, opened the back door. And I said, get out of here, devil. I'm not paying $3 and something for gas to haul you around. I'm going to have church. And, buddy, I had church. The glory of God came down that night. I'm telling you, I shouted and shouted. Why? Because stand up against the enemy that's trying to destroy you. Therefore, we have peace with God. And, buddy, there's nothing like the peace of God. Hallelujah. And here is another. We have obtained access to God by faith. And we rejoice. Wow. You know why we're shouting? You know why we're screaming? Why we're jumping? We're hollering? Because I have access to God. Come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain help in the time of need. We don't have to go through some priest. We've already got a high priest that's making intercession for us. But we can go directly to God. And let me tell you why. Because he adopted us. And when he adopted us, that made me a child of God. and made me a member of the family. And when you have a family meeting, you put the servants out. You don't put the children out. You let the children know what's going on. And God's going to let us know what's going on because we belong to Him. And let me tell you something right now. It's an exciting time we're living in, because we're living in the time when God could come back any day. They could be war break out all over, but you think I'm worried about it? No. If Russia drops a bomb, I hope it hits me right in the top of my head, because I'll transfer from here to glory. I'm not worried about Putin. Hallelujah. I've only got one person I desire, and that's Jesus. We've obtained access by faith, and we rejoice in it. Thank God. I don't have to call. Here's what a lot of people in today's time, they got a relationship with the pastor, or they got a relationship with a church, or they've got a relationship because their grandpa helped build this room onto it. They got a relationship like that. But you don't have to correct people when they get a relationship with Jesus, because Jesus will do the correcting. He'll let you know what He wants and what He don't want. What is the will of God? Damon asked here a few meetings ago. What is the will of God? I can tell you the will of God for your life, that in everything give thanks unto Him, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Well, I had a flat tire on my bicycle. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I've had that experience. And I didn't have my phone with me. Forgot my phone the first time, I guess. Or maybe not the first time, but I forgot my phone. I couldn't call nobody. I didn't know what to do. You know what I started doing? I started praying. I said, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do, but you got to fix this. I can't even call nobody except you. You're never busy. Hallelujah. And so this guy pulled up, and I said, man, I'll pay you any amount of money you want to if you'll take me to this about 6 miles down the road. You got any weapons on you? And I said, well, no, I don't, but I wouldn't use it if I did. I said, I just need help. And so he said, all right, get in. And I asked him, how much do I owe you? And he said, you don't owe me a penny. He said, you just pray for me, because we got talking about Jesus on the way down. And he said, you just pray for me. I said, buddy, I will do that. And, you know, I have to call. But anyway, we've obtained access by faith, and we rejoice. What we rejoice in, the hope of the glory of God. When we are justified and we have access to God, then we have hope that we're going to experience the glory of God. And the glory of God is something that we all need to experience. In church, out of church. I don't know how you worship God, but sometimes when God touches my heart, He squeezes my heart until water runs out my eyes. And I'm doing that more. The older I get, the more tender-hearted I am. And I'm thanking God for it. I remember a time that I couldn't cry. I didn't want to cry. I just thought it was sissified to cry, because that's the most of the biggest weapon that women use on their husbands is crying, because they surrender about every time you start crying. And so I thought it was sissified to cry, but oh, not anymore. I cry just at looking at the joy that I see when I come to the house of God. I cry when I can look at the babies running back and forth. Oh, thank God for the babies in the church. Then somebody said that's going to be the future church. No, they're the today's church. They're right now church. And if you ever see one shouting, don't stop them from shouting. Encourage them. Amen. Well, I remember used to when somebody would shout and start getting in the spirit, a bunch of saints would jump up and start fanning them. Yeah. Amen. Try to spread that flame around. That's what we need to do. Encourage one another. Tell them, say, you got it. You're going to make it. I know you're going to make it. Most of the time in my 50-some years of serving God, He used me, and I didn't even know He was using me at the time. I had to look back and say, well, I didn't know it at the time, but God was in that. Joy through the love of God in verses number 3 through 5. Hallelujah. He said, And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. That's what happens when we start going through trials. We get hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, it said the love of God is shed in there by the Holy Ghost. There is a love that's natural, and you should have it, but you really don't know what the love of God is until you really see what he done for you on Calvary. A lot of people say, God don't love me. You want to see the love of God demonstrated? You look at what happened on the cross of Calvary. You look at what he went through with when he did not have to do it. And God showed his love for us not after we got saved, before we got saved. He shed his love for us. I had a guy, a friend of mine, and he calls me a lot. He moved out of state, and he calls me a lot. And sometimes he's got Tracy's number mixed up with mine. And he'll call her and then realize when she answers what he did. And so I was busy one time, and I was probably running the lawnmower, I think, and I didn't hear it. So when I got through, I seen where he'd called, and I said, well, I got to finish doing what I'm doing, then I'll call him back. And 3 or 4 days went by, and I forgot all about it. So I called him when I thought about it, and I said, man, I'm sorry. I didn't get back with you. I said, I forgot all about it. He said, Ed Tucker, there ain't nothing you can do to make me not love you. Oh, God, that broke my heart. I thought, this is what God has done for his church. There's nothing we can do to make God not love us. If he loved us while we was enemies, while we were sinners, how much more will he do for us now that we are a child of God? And when we realize the love of God, you know what? That didn't make me not want to call him back anytime. That made me want to answer him as soon as he called, because I knew how much he loved me. And I had never been told that before in my life. But then I began to realize this is God's love toward the church. He loves us so much, he will correct us before he lets us go to hell. He will stop us. I'm going to heaven if God has to drag me all the way. Hallelujah. And I have proof of the love of God. Let's see what verse I was going to read that in. Okay. I have proof of the love of God. We have salvation from what? He said, from wrath. For when we were yet without strength. You ever seen anybody that ain't got no strength? I was that way after my heart surgery. That woman said, are you tired of laying in that bed? And I said, yes, I am. She said, well, do you want to get up and sit in a seat? And I said, lady, I can't get up. I can't even stand. I said, I'm lucky to lift a glass to my lips to get a drink of water. And she said, but would you like to sit in that chair? And I said, yes. She said, I'm a big old girl. Boy, she grabbed me out of that bed and throwed me in that chair. And that's what God done to me when I was a sinner. I had no strength. I did not want to go to the altar. But he grabbed me. He said, I'm a big man. He grabbed me and throwed me to the altar. I'll never forget. I started on one end and ended up all the way to the other end. I covered everything the first night. Amen. Hallelujah. And I've been a rejoicing and shouting and jumping ever since. Psalms 85 and 10 took place in my life. It said mercy and truth have met. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. I got caught right in the middle of the smack, and I've been hugging and loving ever since. Amen, amen. Lord God, what God's done for me. Somebody said, well, I didn't come from a shouting church. Well, when you realize how much he loves you, it ought to make a Presbyterian run from here to Gooberstown, Arkansas and back. Why? Because nobody loved me like God loved me. 10 years old, I fell on a hunting knife about that long. Went through my neck and pierced my windpipe. blood started gushing. I was way back up in the mountains. Blood started gushing out my neck. I got scared. 10 years old. I didn't know nothing except Mom. I knew Mom knew how to pray. I knew Mom would pray and food would be on the table. I knew Mom would pray and the babies would get well if they're sick. I knew Mom could pray. So I took off a running. And blood, every time my heartbeat would gush out. My tennis shoes was sloshed blood inside my tennis shoes. And the bushes was blood soaked that my brother was behind me was running after me. They was trying to catch me. They could always outrun me, but not then. I was dying. I knew I was dying. The life of the flesh is in the blood. When you lose your blood, you're going to die. Amen. But I knew if I could get within earshot of Mama, I would holler, Mommy, Mommy. And some guys in the community, a couple of grown men, they came running. And Mom had heard me. And so I collapsed. I ran out of blood. Or if it gas or whatever it was to keep me. But I collapsed. I couldn't go no farther. I lay there, and these guys picked me up, and one of them was holding me in his arm. And he said, I wouldn't give you a penny for his life. But Mom heard me, and she come a-running. And, man, when she come a-running, she laid hands on my throat, and she started speaking in an unknown tongue. And all of a sudden, that blood stopped flowing like that. And they said, we got to get him to the hospital. They tied a white handkerchief around the radio rail of a boy that had a car that was pretty fast. And this was Clarney, about 12, 14 miles from the old Raleigh General Hospital. It was down there where Park Jr. was. And Dad had to go with me, and he wouldn't let me go to sleep. He kept waking me up. And Mom said, wait a minute, you're not taking him. She said, he's bloody. I got to go change his clothes and wash him. And she took me in the house, changed my clothes, washed the blood off of me. And I was a woman that done prayed that God would stop my blood, and the blood stopped. She took time to give me a bath. That's why you got to have faith in God. You can't look at the blood I lost. You can't look at how I feel. You can't do that. You got to go by faith in God. God heard my mama. He's going to hear me. That's why I still cry out to God through faith in God. And guess what? Dad, they took 3 units of blood from Dad, and I was 3 days in the hospital, and I come out. And the only thing that they told me I couldn't eat was cornbread. Lord, I love cornbread. But they said, you can't eat that because it gets in where your windpipe was pierced and the blood and stuff. It said it might choke you to death. So I had to give up my cornbread for a few days. But here's the miracles. God, see, the devil wanted to kill me before I even met God, before I even knew. But he made a mistake. He let me hear my mom pray. He let me know that my mom was a praying woman. Amen. The reason we ain't getting no more is because we're not praying no more. I believe when you pray, you let the Holy Ghost shed the love of God in your heart. You'll begin to love people you thought you couldn't love. You'll begin to treat people like you never thought you'd ever treat them before. Why? Because you've got a different spirit in your heart. You've got the love of God. The love of God has no respect of person. The love of God will make you cry when you're a hard heart. The love of God will make you give when you're so tight you jump the fence from wearing out the hinges on your gate. That's how God's love works. It'll make you do something you never thought you'd ever do. Hallelujah. We have salvation from wrath. You know what wrath is? It's the wrath of God. That's what the apostle began to preach. He said that the wrath of God is coming up on the disobedient. And he gave a bunch of things that people were doing that the wrath of God was going to come up on. Well, tribulation is the wrath of God. We have salvation from wrath. If he died for me while I was a sinner, much more justified by his blood, I was reconciled by the death of his son, much more we shall be saved by his life. The only way the church can die is for Jesus to die again. And that ain't going to happen. And he said, because I live, you shall live also. Yeah. Hallelujah. The devil don't like to hear that. The devil likes you thinking, well, you're getting ready to die any time. You just could pass away any moment. It's sad. I ran across a buddy of mine after I got back from Florida in the mall. And, I really didn't know him that good. But in 3 months, he really looked bad. And I said, hey, how you doing? He said, not good. He said, I've lost 30 pounds in just a few months. And he said, they think I've got cancer. And then I said, wow. I said, well, listen, I'm going to be praying for you. I said, I'm going to call your name out in prayer. He said, well, if you're going to call my name out in prayer, pray that my wife don't spend all my money. I thought, oh, my God. Can you believe that? I mean, him dying of cancer, and he'd rather have prayer that his wife not spend his money as to pray to be healed. This is what the world's coming to, saints. And we better thank God. We better rejoice. We better praise God every day because of what God has done for us. And I'm gonna let the devil know, devil, you're lying to me. I got a lot more than you think I've got. My position in verse 9, in him, I'm justified, declared not guilty. And protection, saved from wrath. I'm not going through tribulation. And if you do, I'll pray for you. But I don't know why you wouldn't want to. Lord have mercy. You have tribulation while you're on this earth. In this earth you shall have tribulation. And our peace, reconciled, means to make enemies into friends. And we're at peace with God. You know, let me tell you this, and I'll quit. But this boy was raised, his mom was a good Christian woman. His dad didn't go to church. And the boy started drinking. And he become mean and cussing and everything. And one day he come in drunk. And his dad met him at the door and said, son, if you're going to act like this, you can leave home and never come back. We don't want you here. And he grabbed his clothes and stuff. He looked at it, shook his finger in his dad's face. He said, you'll never see my face again, and left. He kept in touch with the family through a friend that lived in a community. Years and years went by, and he done made up his mind, they'll never see my face again. And somebody come to him and said, your mom's dying. And he said, really? I said, yeah. And if you want to see her, you need to go. They done sent her home to die. And he showed up and stood by her bedside. And he said, Mom, I love you. She said, son, I just wish you knew the prayers. I've been praying for you. And his dad came into the room and stood on the other side of the bed. And his mom reached over and got her husband's hand and got her son's hand. And he brought them together and put their hands together. And the boy started crying. The daddy started crying. And he said, you know what? I've been wrong. I'm going to make everything right. Because of her love toward him, she was able to reach out with one hand and the other hand and bring them together. And that's exactly what Jesus did when he hung on the cross. He was qualified to reach up and grab a hold of God's hand and reach down and grab a hold of a sinner's hand and bring us together and everything. We've been reconciled. We've been made peace with God. We have God's love in our hearts. All because of Jesus. You wonder why I say Jesus so much? Because I'm a Jesus man. I don't care if I'm Jesus born, Jesus bred, and if I die, I'll be Jesus dead, because I'm the only one that's coming out of the grave. Oh, thank you, saints, for listening to me. Praise God.